Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's echo that sound a little longer. Let's just shout, hallelujah, glory. Oh, we're excited, we're excited. This is an exciting day. Well, it's always exciting, but I know that you come for a particular reason, not just to connect with all these wonderful people, not just to be online so that you can mark off the box, I went to church on Sunday, but you're here because you love the Lord and you anticipate an opportunity to acknowledge Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him. What a joy it is, and this is a special Sunday. This is Pentecost Sunday, and you're going to be, whoa, yeah. Wow, what a day to particularly celebrate Holy Spirit. What a gift to us, you know. Just a very common verse, I guess, in reference to Holy Spirit, but something so strong where it says in, oops, I've lost all my pages, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the very last verse. And this is a blessing and but an admonition also that is given in this word from Paul. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of Holy Spirit be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, welcome. Oh, we welcome it, pouring forth of your grace this morning. Oh, just flood upon us the substance of your grace. There's so much grace here. Grace to step fully into what God has for us, to step into the celebration, to step in the joy. And then it says the love of God. Oh, I believe and trust that every one of you here, every one of you online, is going to experience today even a greater measure, a greater understanding. And with that understanding comes an opportunity to experience the love of God in such a fresh way. But then it says the fellowship of Holy Spirit. Fellowship of Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what pictures that come in your mind when you think that, but one thing that as I was just reading that again this morning, the Lord just reminded me of something that happened this Friday. I knew that 8 of our grandkids and my daughter were hanging out together. We heard that they were over having pizza, getting ready to have a little bit of party together. And so we decided to bust in on that, you know, and be part of it, because that kind of connection, that kind of fellowship, what a joy it is. So we got there when they were already into all the fun of what they were doing. Yet, when we walked in the door and came in, they just all stopped what they were doing and all came just quickly to the door, quickly to the foyer there and to greet us. Grandma, Grandpa, you know, to give us hugs, to give us greetings. And do you know how that blesses your heart to feel so welcome? We have somebody's heart today that we can welcome. You know, and then they invited us. We saw that they had been sitting around the table, which is kind of usual for one of our gatherings. If you're not eating, you're at the table to play a game. And since they'd already eaten, they were at the table, and I could see a game having already been set up, like we came and interrupted that. But they didn't act like we were an interruption to their life. No matter how busy you are, he's not an interruption, is he? Because they set it aside and they started asking us questions. What'd you do this week? How was your week? I mean, genuine, sincere questions to get a hold of us, to get to fellowship with us. And how honoring that was. What a blessing it was. And then they said, we were going to play this game, but Grandma and Grandpa, what game would you like to play? In other words, we'll yield what we had in mind to what you have in mind. And I trust the Holy Spirit knows today. We have a lot of things in mind that we like to happen when we come together, but we'll yield it to whatever He has in mind. But they just set themselves in a place. But I also, God reminded me that three of the younger boys, two brothers and a cousin, were downstairs. They didn't come up and greet us. They were giggling and playing and having a good time. They were fully occupied in each other and what they were doing. And they just shouted as we came in the door, "Hi, Grandpa! Hi, Grandma!" And that was good enough for them. But that's not good enough for us just to say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, that you're here. We honor you. We bless you." But that's just not enough. We're the ones who are making way. We have prepared ourselves to give fully to the Lord, to give Him our full heart and attention, right? I know you are, because I can see it. I always feel it on a Sunday. This is one group that's quick to engage. So, Lord, as you see us here, as we're standing or sitting here, as we're even the ones online, know it's all about setting ourselves before you. We're preparing ourselves. We've been prepared. We're ready to give it all to you. All our time, our attention, our focus. We want to hear from you. We want to see you. We want to experience you. We welcome the convicting presence of Holy Spirit. Do what you want to change us, to adjust us. Do what you want, but do what you want and magnify Jesus. Glorify Jesus today. Holy Spirit, we give ourselves to that purpose that you have of glorifying the Lord. We know, Holy Spirit, that's your purpose, your delight, your joy. Oh, shote rabasade. Yay, de corobosonde rabasa. Ya, shorobosonde rabasi. Ke, ye, de rabosore bashande rabasitiata. Ye, ye, de rabosote rabakayete. Oh, have your way today. Have your way and be glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Saturday was silent, surely it was through. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. The praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Pentecostal fire, stirring something new. Dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. My God is able to save and to deliver and heal and restore. Make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
under the breath of God. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. I'll be in the grave,
I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again.
Waited for the Spirit of the Lord, He's breaking forth. Come on, people, raise up, roar, it's our time. This is the time we've waited for. The Spirit of the Lord, He's breaking forth. Come on, people, raise up, roar, it's our time. Our time to rise and take a stand. Our time to take back all of this land. By knowing our God and building His people, impacting our world. The kingdom of God is here, yeah, yeah, yeah. Since the time we've waited for, the Spirit of the Lord is breaking forth. Come on, people, raise up a roar, it's our time.
Thank you.
'cause I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a mountain. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. 'Cause I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
Chicago.
Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. As you move, we want more. As you speak, we want more.
It's who I am. It's who I am. Today, you have showed up, be it online or be it here in the house. You have come today. So I say unto you, receive all that I have to give. I am Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh. I provide all that you need. Receive of my love, receive of my Holy Spirit. Have a fresh refilling of my spirit this day. For I have empowered you, my ecclesia, to go forth with my word and to bring in this end time harvest, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Father. He's a good, good Father. Doesn't matter what kind of relationship you had with your own natural father. Get your eyes off of that and your eyes on God the Father. Because He's a good, good Father. And we thank You for Your goodness now and Your mercies that are fresh and new every morning. We thank You that You love us unconditionally. And You love us. Oh, just receive the love of the Father this morning. He's loving on us. Holy Spirit's pouring out the love of the Father on us this morning once again. Fix your eyes on things above. Get your eyes off of all the natural things, because there's one thing for certain, one thing that is eternal, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that God the Father is a good, good God. So we honor You this morning. We honor You, Father God. We honor Your presence. For in Your presence is fullness. So we thank You, going deep, deep into our innermost being this morning. As we celebrate You, we celebrate life and life more abundantly. Just receive the life of the Father God. His life dwells on the inside of you as believers in Him. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are being made new. So just receive that newness right now. Let it wash over your mind. There's no fear in it, so let fear go. And let faith begin to arise. Faith that casts out fear, the love of God. There's no fear in His love. So let the love of God fill you. And feel the fear leave. And faith begin to arise again. We thank You. Our eyes are fixed on You, Jesus, this morning. Jesus, 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 name above all names, that at Your name we bless You, we honor You. Come on, give Him some praise. Give Him a shout of praise and victory. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, You're a good, good Father. You're a good Father. Receive it, receive it, receive it. Whoa, yes, ha ha ha. Woo. Let's give Him a shout of praise. Yes, a shout of victory. Ha 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 ha. Woo. Well, well, you may be. You may be seated.
Can we take that?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord.
Woo. If you can feel His presence, by the time we get done with the service, you'll know what we're talking about.
All right.
Amen. Woo. And I can guarantee you there's more. I mean, you taste and you want more. That's just natural. Want more until the fullness begins to overflow. Begins to bubble up. Amen. Give expression, manifestations of the glory of God. Well, we're glad you're here. Aren't you glad you're here? Hallelujah. We bless you and just encourage, if you're a first-time visitor, just jump right in. We don't always know where we're going, but He knows where we're going. We're trying to follow Him. And so just jump right in, and you can fill one of the cards out in the rack in front of you, just visitor, so that we might know how to pray for you. But we just honor Your presence this morning with us, and God's moving. I mean, we got in that song of Revolution.
Come on now.
Your revolution waiting to happen. Because if you accepted Jesus, you entered into a revolution. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that was good. Well, Memorial Day is tomorrow, and we want to honor those that have given us the place where we can have freedom to worship this way in spirit and in truth. And so we want to honor those, and you know, our generation, and I'm in the millennial generation on the first end of that, so millennial generation is kind of fading out as the great generation's pretty much gone right now. The great generation, we know that during the time of war that people gave up sacrifices. They gave up their lives, they gave up just everything, but the ones that gave the ultimate sacrifice were the ones that went and died on the field and shed their blood.
All right.
Amen. Yes.
Father, we thank you. We can't comprehend this kind of sacrifice and love to lay down our lives. We know, Jesus, you laid down your life that we might have life and life more abundantly.
Yes.
But we honor those, Father, that have sacrificially not only given their lives over for a time of war, but also those who have laid down their lives. The shedding of blood, their blood cries out, Father, for freedom.
Yes.
And we thank you that we stand here today in this nation.
Yes.
We stand here and are able to worship freely.
Yes, yes.
And so we thank you for the freedom that we have. And yet there's more to experience. So Father, we honor those that have gone before us this morning.
Yes, thank you.
We remember them. Remember the sacrifice. And thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For our freedom that we have because of their sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So you get a little emotional, and if you've had anybody that's laid down their life, and my best friend and best man in my marriage laid down his life in Vietnam. So I get a little emotional. I think about George before he was 21. He was only 20. Wow. Miss George. Oh, okay. Amen.
Amen.
Well, a few announcements before we move on. Let me get my composure here. A lot of things happening this week.
Yeah.
Woo! You better buckle in. Because this week we're going to do a lot of things. We have our normal Tuesday first fruits, normal Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of our intercessory prayer. But on Wednesday we're finishing our prophetic training course with Prophet Susie. And if you have missed the first two, that's all right. Come on out, because there's something you can catch up in. You know, you say, well, I'm behind. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Just come and catch the atmosphere. It's been strong atmosphere Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And then we move right into Saturday Connecting Point. Ladies, you don't want to miss this last one of the season in June. And so I know you want to sign up and just invite someone. We have so many ladies that I've run into that says, well, we've attended Connecting Point. Now we start to see some of them coming into the overflow on Sunday morning. So ladies, Connecting Point's going to finish strong, I know. And you want to be here. And then life groups are going on. You need to just, I can't remember all the life groups, but this week there's several that are in operation this weekend. So just a full week of exploding into June. I mean, where did May go? You know, but we're exploding in June. We're running. We're not walking. And just want to follow the Spirit. So thank you for engaging. If you haven't engaged, just jump in. You say, where do I start? I don't feel, I know anybody. Just jump in.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Give yourself to it. So that's all this week. And Then coming in June, we'll make announcements in June because we don't really know everything that's going on in June yet. Did I get all the announcements for this week?
I don't know.
Very good. I don't know neither. Covenant Partners. This morning is the last time for Covenant Partners to receive their prophetic word. So if you're here this morning, you went through the Covenant Partners class. The prophetic words for going through the class are today. The prophetic teams are here. Heard some strong, powerful words that you've all been receiving as your identity and your destiny. So you don't want to miss that. But the Covenant Partners class, you can sign up. The next one is June the 10th. And you say, what is that? That's just going to the next level. If you're attending here, you're part of Harvest Christian Church, you're part of the body of Christ, but if you want to take it to a new level, you want to just begin to exercise your gifts a little more, you want to be released, you just want to participate on a new level, take a greater ownership. So we're going to spend that on Saturday, June the 10th from 9:30 to 12:30. And so you can sign up. There's a sign up there, or just show up. You say, well, I've only been coming. We had some people that came, it was their first week here, and the first Saturday they showed up on Saturday, and the first time. It was exciting. The presence of God was really, really powerful and strong. And so we just say, come. It's not your typical membership class. That's why we call it Covenant Partnership. There's a sharing of life, sharing of vision, who we are. If it witnesses to the DNA on you, then you'll want to get the right hand of fellowship. We do that on a Sunday, and then you receive prophetic prophecy. So I think that's all the announcements. You can give online, you can give in your envelopes. There's boxes in the hallway on the wall and right out the foyer doors or the sanctuary doors. You can put your offering in there. You can go online, you can text. There's a lot of ways. You can go to Harvest website and just see a lot of ways of giving, but also you can review through the Facebook pages, the videos of Sunday morning, but also the audios are on our website, and the audios go back a whole year. And so if you missed a service, you can listen to the audio. So go on site, and Steve and Don do a great job of keeping that update. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of information on it. If you miss a first fruit, Prophet Susie puts in her notes there, so you get to sneak into her notes and hear what's being declared in First Fruit. So just a lot of exciting things happening at Harvest Christian Church. Amen. That's because we serve an exciting God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you ready to dismiss the children? Let's stretch our hands toward children. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for this next generation, that you're empowering them that right now with Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the Word of God and Holy Spirit, that Father is expanding them, growing them. It's not about the size of their stature or their status, but Father, it's about their heart. And so we thank you for tender hearts. Thank you they're being empowered with the Word. Thank you, Father, for infusing right now the leaders to impart right now. The life that's in them is contagious. So we release that contagious fire on the inside of the workers in Jesus' name. As we release them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, if you're taking your children out, make sure you take them out and sign them in. Make sure you sign them out at the end of the day. I don't want anybody that's not signing one in to go to breakfast, because they get breakfast every week. We're going to feed you with the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for not only Memorial Day weekend, but it's a memorial this day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And so, Father, it's not just to be a day that we celebrate, but it's to be a lifestyle. It's to be a walk, for you said walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you that Pentecost Sunday is a walk. It's a walk in the Spirit, walking with you, hearing your voice, being led. What we hear And so we thank you that as we celebrate this Sunday, we thank you, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You teach us all things, so I ask that you would expand your word this morning beyond our natural understanding. Let it permeate, Father, our hearts and expand us in our inner man, that we have a capacity for all that you have for us. We cried out for more. But Father, you need to expand us in our inner man, our very core, our innermost being, so that we can contain all that you have for us. Yes. And we thank you that you had a way of doing that. And it's through the person of Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Turn in your Bibles to John 13. Let me give you a little context. You know, often we do, and most of us in, that have been around a long time that preach, we all do this. We preach topical things. But if you don't understand the context sometimes, you miss what's being taught. If you don't understand where this is a portion is in the Bible and in the life of Jesus, you won't understand the importance of it that he's about ready to release. In fact, chapter 13, verse 1 says this: "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come..." The feast of the Passover was the night before he goes to the cross. Knowing that his hour has come. What is the hour that has come? It's time for him to go to the cross. So this is within 12 or 15 hours of the cross. Chapter 13 enters into. This is really important. If you only had 12, 15 hours left in your life, you think you'd talk about the weather and your last meal? Jesus is entering in and he knows his hour has come at this time. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 to the end of the chapter is all about that time period just before he goes to the cross and after his resurrection. You still with me? So the context of what we're going to share this morning is vital. He's not going to waste words. You know, we wonder what Jesus taught that night. We all know that he taught on the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper. And we celebrate communion and do in remembrance of him. But that was just such a small portion of that night. He crams all this other teaching into that night before he goes to the garden and prays before the next morning. Whew. You ever wondered what Jesus taught in that last time? Well, it's in the scripture. You don't have to guess it. You don't have to speculate it. It's in red in my Bible. So we know it was Jesus teaching. Wow. We can go back and experience. The memorial is go back so that we can experience. Let me say a couple of things about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not power, the power of God or the presence of God first. If all you think is Holy Spirit is the power of God, you're going to miss the fullness. If all you think it's a presence, having a feeling, you're going to miss the fullness. Because the third P is the person of Holy Spirit. If you get the person of Holy Spirit, you're going to get his presence and you're going to get his power. Woo! We're seeking the wrong things. We're seeking power, but power is already in the person of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. So all the nature and character that is in Jesus and in Father are in Holy Spirit. He's the third person. So all the fullness of God the Father, all the fullness of Jesus the Son are in the third person, Holy Spirit. So if we get Holy Spirit and the person of Holy Spirit, we get His presence. You'll get feelings. You'll experience His power. Well, I feel His presence right here. This morning, I thought I was going to fall over a couple times, sit in Susie's lap. I like the feelings. But the feelings, I'm not seeking. I'm seeking His presence. And when we have an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit, the presence are going to be a natural. The feelings are going to come naturally. The power will happen. Because that's His nature and His very character. Are you with me in chapter 13 so far? So, chapter 13, and I hadn't seen this until this morning. Literally. I put this morning in the thought process. Chapter 13, and I'll tell you just kind of good. After he says that, he takes off his garments and he washes the disciples' feet. You can read that in chapter 13. So we're going through the process. If you want to know when he did the Lord's Supper, you can read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because they give you other details that fit in the same time period. Okay? But John talks about washing the feet. And he gets down to this, verse 20, and he says this. Truly, truly. That means, I mean, he's saying, this is real. This is more real than real. This is spiritual reality. Truly, truly. He's catching our attention. And notice what he says. This is very important. I say to you, he who receives whoever I send receives me. This is critical. It's not talking about us, I don't think. You could do that. But what it's talking about, whoever I send, whoever. We're going to spend all the time in Scripture showing that Jesus sent Holy Spirit from heaven. And when He sent Holy Spirit from heaven as a gift from the Father, that was what happened in the upper room. And He says to us and the disciples, whoever receives the one that I am sending... Do you see this? Yeah. It's not talking about natural. It's talking about spiritual. He's giving them a heads up. This is critical. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. He right away talks about the one he's sending has a personality. He's talking about the personhood of Holy Spirit. And he says, if you receive him, you receive me. Oh, this is good. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. So look at how it flows. Who sent Jesus? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God sent Jesus into the world. And now he's saying that Jesus is about ready to send the third person of the Godhead in the world. And if you receive him, you're receiving Jesus. Whoa, because they're one. In fact, this will play in to John 17. After I get through all this, 14, 15, and 16, John 17 is the prayer that he prayed that has yet be fulfilled, that we might be one even as he is one. How are we one? By receiving the same Holy Spirit in us. Gives us identity of our oneness. Amen. Outside of that everything outside that is what causes dissension, confusion, division. Everything outside of this. You want to get about order. You want to get about order of worship. You want to talk about doctrine. Everything you get out, but if you take Holy Spirit out. All right. Now let's go to chapter 14. He begins to tell them, he says, it's my time. My hour has come. He's going to the cross. And this is what connects chapter 14 to 13. Do not let your heart be troubled. Why did he say that? Because he just told him, I'm going to the cross. He just told him, I'm going to die. He just begins to tell them. So their hearts are troubled. Your heart would be troubled too. Right? So he's not talking about just, you know, out there, don't let your hearts be troubled about circumstances and situation in life. He's talking about they've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had the personal contact with him. They've seen miracles with him.
Yes, amen.
Unless I forget this, I'll just say this again. However, being with Jesus was not the ultimate. Jesus only in his lifetime traveled a radius of 300 miles. He's about ready to explode something on the earth. That if the devil knew this, he wouldn't have crucified. He would have been content having one man, because Jesus was a man in the flesh, and his lack was in the flesh. He could only be in one place at one time. Come on. He's about ready to give a blow to the power of darkness. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe also in me. So he says, the antidote for this, your heart being troubled and what I just told you, the antidote is believe. Only believe. And what do we believe? We believe in him. What did he say? Whoever receives him that I'm sending receives me.
Amen.
Boy, it went quiet. Everybody with me? I know you're just soaking this in, because we haven't even gotten the message. I'm giving you the prelude. Now, remember, and then verse, well, we won't go there yet. If I back up, I'll back up too far. So go to verse 16. Verse 16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. This verse is loaded. He says, I'll give you a helper. And it's not just someone to come alongside of you and help you through your messes. But the word helper means one just like me. So I'm giving you one just like me, but he doesn't look like me. Because he says, he will give you another helper that he may be with you. That is the Spirit of truth. So he says, this helper is a spirit. It's very important. It doesn't have a physical body like you and I. He is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in life.
Truth.
Or truth. So if we're going to worship God, we have to worship him in the spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't have a body. So Jesus is really messing up their theology. They think this is wonderful. Jesus is here. He's going to set up the kingdom. This is it. The Messiah has come. We're going to see the end of times. Little they know, 2,000 years. We'd still be here. Why? Because he had a bigger plan than just that 300-mile radius. Amen? I asked the Father. So is this fulfilling chapter 13, verse 20? He says, I asked the Father, and he will give you another helper. You want to know what Jesus is praying? During the time before he goes to the cross, he's thinking about us. Not just the disciples there, he's thinking about all of us. And he says, I ask the Father. I mean, there's very few words in there you can find in Scripture the what Jesus prayed. Before he's going to the cross, he says, I'm asking the Father that he give you another helper just like me. In nature and in character. He's coming in a different form, but don't worry about that. Whoo! He will give you another. He will give you. So he asked the Father, And he says, and the Father will give you what I ask, because they're one. So he asks the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you. Who is this helper? He says that he. So he's personal pronoun. It's not the power of God. It's not some entity out there. It's a person. So with a personality, he has feelings. He has a will. But he subjected his feelings, his will, and his desires all to Jesus, who's already surrendered himself to Father. So that it keeps this divine alignment coming into the earth. There's no break. I pray that he may give you another helper, just like me. Different form, but same. And he, notice what he says, that he may be with you forever. Doesn't say he'll be with you when you leave this earth. It says, he's talking to the disciples, I'm going to the cross. Wait till he says some other thing. You think this is hard? He's starting to change their whole experience of identifying with him. And he's moving it away from him to Holy Spirit, whose primary job here is to glorify Jesus. So if you want to see more of Jesus, you're going to have to have more of Holy Spirit. Because his primary job is to reveal Jesus. Now you're going to see this all through Scripture here. That he may be with you, that is the Spirit of truth forever. I like that, forever. This is the Spirit of truth. So it tells you, Jesus said in verse 6, I think, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now he says, we're moving out of Jesus being the truth to calling Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Ooh. It's moving away from Jesus being truth, although he's truth, but the Spirit, it's beyond, and Holy Spirit's going to reveal the truth that's in Jesus, so we're not making any light of Jesus, but he calls Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why can't the world receive it? Because they haven't been born again, their minds haven't been enlightened. Only those that believe in Jesus have their spirits made alive that they can understand this concept. Don't try to teach it to an unbeliever. Don't run around saying you need to be filled with the Spirit. They think you're talking about ghost. They think you're talking new age. Get them saved first.
Amen.
Amen? Then they qualify to understand. They're illuminated. Their mind is now alive to spiritual things. Without Jesus, born again, your mind can't be illuminated to what the Spirit is going to show us. Is that all that makes sense? Because it does not see him or know him. Notice why they cannot receive him. They can't see him. He's a spirit. But they can't know him. And that word know there is more than just know about him. It's an experiential encounter with him. I know him not because I have goosebumps and I'm experiencing. I know him intimately as a person. He's my best friend. And you know what? There's times when 6 billion people or 8 billion people, wherever it is, there's times in the middle of the night when you need a friend. And he never leaves you or forsakes you. All you have to do is turn into Holy Spirit. Woo! Woo! But you know him because he, notice the he, you know him, Holy Spirit, because he, Holy Spirit, abides in you and will be, abides with you and will be in you. So here's Holy Spirit. He's a spirit and he's everywhere all the time. So outside of me is Holy Spirit. He's out here. Woo! That is good. Everywhere I go, Holy Spirit's there. But he says that's the way the old covenant operated. The new covenant is he'll not only be with you everywhere, but this new helper will be in you. Woo! You know what he just said? It was good being with Jesus, but Jesus is saying, there's someone I'm sending that will not just be with you. In other words, you have to be in his presence, but will be on the inside of you.
That's something to whip about.
Oh my goodness. Well, it doesn't stop though. Don't get too excited. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. In other words, I spoke these things while I'm with you. But the helper, and he identifies the helper now, not only the Spirit of truth, but he says the Holy Spirit. So if you question who the helper is, it's answered in Scripture. He said, I mean, can you see the disciples' minds just going, what are you talking about? The Spirit's coming. He's going to be with us. We know about Spirit. We've heard about it. But he's going to be in us? So he tells them, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. You see who this is? There's a sending. Jesus said, if you receive whoever I send. And here he says, the Father will send in my name. In his primary job, he will teach you all things. When we get to a place of maturity and we have the fullness of God, Holy Spirit will be our master teacher. We won't have to be running around. I praise God for anointed teachers right now. But I'm telling you, in this new move, Holy Spirit's going to be master teacher. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And then verse 20 again says, peace I leave with you. Can you remember that chapter 14, he starts off with the peace that troubles your heart? Sandwiched in that, he talks about all the helper and Holy Spirit. And then he says, peace I leave with you. Notice what it says. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. What is the peace that he's given us? It's not a feeling. He's given us Holy Spirit. And one of the attributes of Holy Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5 is the peace of God. So Jesus says, not my peace only, but I'm giving you the peace of Holy Spirit. Not as the world gives. We're not talking about peace, peace, walking around, demonstrations, peace, peace, feeling good. We're not talking about that peace. Peace he's talking about is comes on the inside. When chaos is going on all around, you hear the reports of fear. You hear those negative things. The peace of God rises up. In the midst of the battle, you're walking through it. Even though I walk through the valley, keep walking. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You'll come out on the other side. So the walk of the Spirit is a walk. You can't stop. You stop, it'll take you out. The world will take you out. So peace I leave with you. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the helper comes, he doesn't say if he comes. He says when he comes. We know in Scripture, we can read the Scripture, and when did he come? 50 days after the crucifixion. 10 days after Jesus' ascension. For 40 days after his resurrection, he walked the earth. And many saw him, and he did many signs and wonders in proof of his resurrection. And then he ascended into heaven, but he told them before he ascended, go wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. So the day of Pentecost is when they went 10 days later and were endued with power. Everybody following? Okay. So verse 26. When the helper comes, not if he comes, whom I will send. Is that fulfillment of John 13, 20? He's telling you who I'm sent. He just told you about the helper being the Spirit of truth and being also Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to send. Whoa. I mean, sitting in that room, their minds must have been all over the place. He told us that he's dying. He's going to the cross. He's not going to be here anymore. We'll see that. Oh, man, our hearts are troubled. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'll tell you why. I'm getting ready to do something far beyond your imagination. I will send to you from the Father. That is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me. The primary ministry of Holy Spirit is to testify Jesus. If you are walking with Holy Spirit, you're going to be testifying about Jesus. If you're not testifying about Jesus, we ought to wonder what spirit we're operating under. Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. Are you out there? I'm going to tell you, talking about God doesn't do anything. There's a lot of people believe their religion is God. So which God are you talking about? What separates this from just talking about God is Jesus. Jesus makes the enemy mad. You start to talk about Jesus and people... But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, come on. That's all you'll testify about is Jesus. Because Holy Spirit came to testify about Jesus. Who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also. Yep. So it says it doesn't stop with Holy Spirit testifying about Jesus. Because Holy Spirit doesn't have a body. So he says, you also will testify. And why? Because I'm in you. So if you spend time with me, you ought to be talking more about Jesus than anything else. I mean, as great as the NBA finals are. I went to bed, just look at the score. I haven't watched any of it at all. Went to bed and it's still going on, 3-3. But it's going to end in the next game. And next year, most of us won't remember who won. But I'll tell you, the cross, we know who won. And he's not finished. He's already given us the victory. Because you have been with me from the beginning. Let's go to chapter 16. I mean, we're still in the night before. Can you imagine what this night was like? Before they go to the garden. I mean, things just get crazy at the garden. And they get crazier after the garden, after all the army comes to arrest him. But this is just before, so he's telling them very intimate things. And this is what he says. I tell you the truth in verse 7. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now Jesus has lost his mind. We've been with him 3.5 years, and what could be better than having Jesus in our midst? Being able to, you know, walk with him, see him, experience miracles. And Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go. You think their hearts are troubled now? I mean, we got it good now. He's carrying us. But he's gone. What are we going to do? He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Remember that scripture, he says, and whoever you receive that I send receives me. If you don't receive Holy Spirit, I won't go there. There's another scripture for that. But if I go, and he went, I will send him to you. And when he, notice all the personal pronouns, he, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin. Drop down to verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. No wonder. He just blew their minds. Their minds are gone. It's to our advantage that you're going away. What in the world? Has this guy lost his marbles? He couldn't tell them anymore at this point. They were already on overload. What are we going to do? He's gone. And this is what he says. I have many more things to say you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, everybody say he, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes. So he says he hasn't come yet, but I'm telling you why I'm going away. Because I'm going to send one helper just like me, same character, same nature, third member of the Godhead, yes, without a physical body, but a spirit that's going to abide with you and be in you. I mean, I can't imagine a disciple. I mean, I'd just be laid out on the ground. What in the world did we sign up for 3.5 years ago? He didn't tell us about this. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And we followed him for 3.5 years. And now he's saying, it's better that I go? Can't be any better than Jesus being here and us being in his presence. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict. Now, verse 12 again. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. How many believe we're in a battle for what is truth? There's no middle. We're in battle for a truth. So the Spirit of truth, who's on the inside, can give you discernment what really is truth. You don't have to run to Google.
Come on.
Because you don't know who's putting Google and what they say on it.
That's right. Amen.
Come on.
That's right.
We'll stay off that one. I can see eyes going, woo, woo, you know. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth, not some, and he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Notice what it says. He can't initiate anything of himself. If he's in alignment with Jesus the Son and God the Father, he can't speak anything outside of that realm.
Amen.
So when he's in the throne room, he hears what the Father and Son are speaking about, and he agrees with it.
Amen.
They say, go teach it to those on the earth.
Amen.
Oh, man, you talk about a teacher.
Amen.
Wow. He will not speak on his own initiative, but he will disclose, and that word disclose there means he reveals. Revelation knowledge comes through Holy Spirit revealing.
Yes.
Without a revelation, it's only knowledge. But when Holy Spirit reveals it, it becomes spiritual knowledge.
Yes.
And spiritual knowledge is what changes you from the inside out.
Amen.
Are you following this?
Amen.
And notice what else it says in verse 14. He will glorify me. Again, the He is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's primary assignment is to glorify Jesus, to represent him. He can't do anything outside of the Godhead. He can't speak anything. He can't do anything. His whole purpose for being on the inside of you is to reveal Jesus. I wrote this statement down. I'll see if I can remember it because I didn't write down in my notes. I wrote down on one of my little sticky pads. I got a whole stack of sticky pads. And I heard a little bit, and I thought maybe Apostle Linda would touch on that, but about his presence. If we believe his presence is here, how should we be acting? Holy Spirit's not, and God's not out to kill you, but he's out to kill everything that's not of him in you.
Amen. Amen.
Ooh. Some of you don't like that statement, but it's true.
Truth, truth.
He'll kill everything in you that's outside because he's a loving God. We said he's a loving God. If he loves you not, if he doesn't love you, natural father will let you go. Oh, he'll just straighten out. How's that working? So if we really believe his presence was here this morning, how should we be acting? Do we act like his presence is really here? And acting like his character, his nature? It cut out lying, exaggeration. It cut out a lot of things in our life if we really believe his presence was here. Because we got to move from the presence of a feeling to a person. And if we get the person and knowing him right, the feelings will come. And I love the feelings. And we'll see the power of God too. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Acts chapter 2. I want to stay and just show you on the day of Pentecost that Peter, on day of Pentecost, he gives a sermon. We give a lot of emphasis on what happened on the day of Pentecost. You know, the tongues of fire, the upper room, they were in one accord. You go on and teach on that. But Peter gives us a sermon of what just happened. Remember, they say, these people are crazy. They've been drinking too much. Did they find a new wine? It's early in the morning. Peter says, no, it's not a new wine. He says, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. But Peter gives his sermon in chapter 12 and verse 33. And let's start with verse 32. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Chapter 2 of Acts, verse 32. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Now the all witnesses are those that are there present, but we're now witnesses of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, after his resurrection for 40 days, he walked on the earth, teaching them about the things of the kingdom. You read that in Acts chapter 1. And then he told them, go wait until they're filled with the Holy Spirit. 10 days later, after that, he's exalted to heaven. He leaves the earth. So Jesus isn't in the earth anymore. He leaves the earth. And having received, he's at the right hand, exalted the right hand of God. So now he's seated at the right hand of God. He's no longer in the earth. He's now next to God, the Father. And having received from the Father the promise of Holy Spirit, he has poured forth that which you both see and you both hear. Do you see that? So what did he say? The promise of the Father of Holy Spirit, you read that in Luke's account at the end. He said, I'm going to send a promise of the Father. You read that throughout Paul's writings. The promise of Holy Spirit. He's a promise of our inheritance. You can read all that. But here he's saying, you have received the promise of Holy Spirit, and he has poured out. So Jesus fulfilled what he said in John chapter 13, verse 20. Whoever receives him who I send receives me. That's being put into Christ. That's the alignment of that oneness. Without receiving Holy Spirit and being put in that, there's no oneness. There's not oneness in you, in your spirit, your soul, and your body. It brings oneness in yourself, but it also brings oneness among all of us. Because we have the same Holy Spirit. It's not a different Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in every one of us. So what makes us one is Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I mean, Jesus, the blood of Jesus does that. It gets you in. But what keeps us in that unity is that we're grown into that fullness of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? The last scripture, John 7. Might be the last scripture. Again, in John chapter 7, verse 32. This is before he goes to the cross, before this week. And he says in verse 32, Jesus said to them, truly, truly. In other words, here this is. You want something that's really true? This is it. Truly, truly. I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread of heaven. For the bread of heaven, oh, I'm in the wrong chapter, aren't I? Oh, that's a good one. I knew that. Oh, I'm going to just stay there. See, I can take chapter 7 out, but if you don't read chapter 6, you won't know. Let's talk about context, but I'm going to read chapter 7. Oh, that was a good one. Bread of heaven, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Woo. Okay. Chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out. This is before he goes to the cross. At one time in the Passover and the season of tabernacles, he goes to the feast, and he doesn't just say, I'm going to tell you a secret. Don't tell anybody. We played a game the other day. The Apostle Linda was telling about games. We played a game the other day that was crazy. They gave you a word, and you had to draw the picture. And then you flip that and pass it to the person next to you, and they had to write what your picture was. And then the next person had to draw the picture of what that word was. By the time it goes around the table, can you imagine some of the... If any, and this is what he says, he cried out, saying, listen, I'm going to give you a heads up, what's coming? Is anyone thirsty?
Yes.
See, some of us read it, you know, only those that are called to all that other stuff. But this is anyone.
Yes.
Are you in anyone?
Yes.
Amen. So he's saying, is anyone thirsty? So the pre-qualification of what Jesus is about ready to say is, how thirsty are you? There's several scriptures. Well, I'll get to this in a minute. Is anyone? He's asking a question. He's asking you a question. How thirsty are you today? How bad do you want this experience? How bad do you want an encounter? Is anyone thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. It's not enough to be thirsty. You can show up and be thirsty, but if you don't come and receive,
amen,
you have to go. There can be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the attitude can be that, you know, if it's really God, it will come in my bedroom.
Right.
But he chose not to go in your bedroom. So I'm thirsty. We hear it all the time. I'm thirsty for a move of God. Are you interacting with the body where the move of God is, where people are experiencing transformation and change?
Amen.
Is anyone thirsty? Come and let him drink. You can come and you can be here this morning. I love when people go out and say, Pastor, I didn't get anything out of that service. They used to take me out. 99 will come in and say, wow, that was a powerful service, but the one will take me out. They came, and they might have been thirsty, but they didn't receive. They didn't drink. Drinking is receiving. And let me help you in this, because it doesn't say it's a one-time drink.
That's right. Come on. Come on.
It's present tense in the Greek. It means as any thirsty, keep coming and keep drinking.
Right. Don't drink water one day a week. Come on.
Woo.
Come on. Yes. Yes.
Keep coming.
Yes.
Keep drinking.
Yes.
And if you keep coming, you keep drinking, you got to stay thirsty.
Yes.
For the right things. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be filled. You may not feel very full right now. I just took a little drink. But stay thirsty. Stay hungry. Keep coming. Keep drinking. Then he starts to tell us what's going to happen. But this doesn't happen until this happens. If you lose your thirst, get back up. I believe we're moving in a season when radical repentance is going to happen.
Yes.
We're not just sorry for whatever.
Amen.
There's a dramatic turn. I'm so dry because of my lifestyle.
Come on, amen. Yeah.
That I repent of it, I turn around, and now I'm thirsty for the right things.
Yeah.
If you don't break the thirst off the old things, you'll never get a thirst for these things. And you can't mix the two together. You can't drink the world system and drink out of the Spirit, because it grieves Holy Spirit, who is a person. He has feelings. He has personality. Don't grieve Holy Spirit. Don't quench the fire of Holy Spirit. So mixture will quench. Here's the promise. He that keeps coming and keeps drinking, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I saw this as the scripture said, so I want to know where the scripture said that. You know, I'm kind of like that. When scripture says, I want to know where it is. In Isaiah 44:3, it says, I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out of my spirit on your offspring.
Hallelujah.
And my blessing on your descendants.
Woo! Yeah.
Isaiah 55:5 also talks about dry land and thirsty. So you've got to be thirsting for the right things, things of righteousness,
yeah.
Truth. That's what Holy Spirit's in there to help you. Look what it says. From your innermost being. I think it's the King James says, for out of your belly. Another one you might say for innermost being, and belly is your heart. The way I like to do this, I don't know if it's my heart or my belly, so I kind of put my hand across my belly and my heart.
Amen. Over it all.
This is my core. You know, we do in the natural, and this is your core from here to here. So I'll tell you, I was walking this morning, and when I walk, you know, I just want to come back. I'm out there, you know, I'm out there in nature, and I'm, woo, you know, and I'm all over. If I want to come back, I just put my hand on, oh yeah, Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen.
Because out of my belly, not out of your mind, out of your belly, where your spirit man is, out of the very core of who you are. Who you are is going to be expressed in the natural and the physical.
Amen, amen, amen.
But innermost being, out of the core, out of my heart. That's why scripture and Proverbs and Psalms there talks about the heart. It's not the physical heart. It's the core of your being, the real you, where Holy Spirit resides.
Amen.
That's who you really are. Amen. And out of that, notice what it says, out of that core will flow rivers of living water. It's not a trickle. It's not a well. It's rivers. And it's not ankle deep. It's not knee deep. It's not waist deep. It's not until you're immersed. That's why it's called the baptism of Holy Spirit. It means you're immersed in it. You're not outside of it. You're in it. Woo! Come on. And when you keep drinking and keep coming, eventually you get a place where it flows. But when it flows, you're giving something out. You got to come back and get refreshed. The danger is we have an experience with God and He flows in us. And the next day they're down. Why? Because we haven't learned to come back to the source. Holy Spirit. Out of my core, out of my innermost being, out of the depth of who I am, because Holy Spirit is in my spirit. I begin to minister life, and it becomes like rivers. And Ezekiel says, everywhere the river goes, everywhere I go. It's not a river going in front. I am the river. Everywhere I go, rivers. And everywhere the river touches, it brings healing. It brings life. It brings deliverance.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Whoa. Jesus taught this the night before He went to the cross. Oh, wow. I'll tell you right now, the real battle in these end times is not the Antichrist. It's how much do we give ourselves to Christ in His Word. It's called the Spirit of Truth. So without the Word is truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you get outside of the Word, you're beyond what Holy Spirit can do, because He can only initiate what He hears the Father and the Son initiating. So that divine alignment that came from heaven. Jesus so loved the world. God so loved the world, He gave Jesus. Jesus so loved you, He sent another helper.
Amen.
Just like Him.
Amen.
And He says He'll be not only with you, but He's going to be in you.
Amen.
To guide you in all truth and show you things to come.
Amen.
This is radical Christianity.
Yeah.
This is radical. And the prophet Joel said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. We're still in the last days, and I don't know if we're in the last of the last days, but 2,000 years have gone on. And he says, and my sons and my daughters will prophesy.
Yeah.
In other words, all of us will start to move in the gifts of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's on the inside. He's the initiator of all the gifts. So if you don't know Him, you're not going to be able to move in the gifts of the Spirit. You might learn some formula that kind of triggers and God will honor it in Jesus' name. But I tell you, the true measure of Holy Spirit in Jesus is that glorifying Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we're not celebrating Pentecost Sunday, what happened in the upper room. We're celebrating who?
Amen.
Who came into the upper room?
Yes.
Who Jesus sent from heaven. And Jesus said, if you receive Him, you receive Me. And so we thank You this morning. It's not just another holiday that we acknowledge and then go on life as it was. But Father, we thank You that's another encounter with Your Word and with Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Scripture I forgot to just go on with. It says, He'll not leave you as orphans. That's powerful. It's right in the middle, I think, chapter 14. He'll not leave you as orphans. He'll not leave you fatherless. He'll not leave you without a protector or a healer or a deliverer. You're not going to try to just be out there on your own trying to make it. I'll not leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you something better than just being with You. I'm going to give You the Spirit that's on the inside of Me. Holy Spirit. So Father, we thank You this morning.
Thank You.
All over the earth, Father, one of the common message today is Pentecost. But I pray it moves beyond talking about the experience, talking about signs and wonders and miracles and tongues of fire. And it moves to the reality of talking about the person of Holy Spirit. For in Him, Father, resides all the power of God. In Him is the presence of God. In Him is the fullness. And so I thank You this morning that we're living in such an amazing time, that in the midst of all chaos, that Father, You put the Spirit of truth on the inside of us. And I pray this morning, Father, the only prerequisite for receiving Holy Spirit is you must be born again. You must have Jesus in your heart. And Jesus, John the Baptist said of Jesus, He'll not only baptize you with water, or I baptize you with water, but He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So this morning, Father, as we make our confession of faith, and we'll do this together publicly, but it's an individual confession. It's between you and God. If you don't know if you're born again or where you'll spend eternal life, if you have any questions, any doubts, if you can't immediately give the answer, He's giving you an invitation. Today is the day of salvation. Believe in Me. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Only believe. So let's make this our confession together. And if you never confess Jesus, welcome Him into your life as Lord and Savior, as Christ, as a forgiver of your sins. If you've never received forgiveness of your sins, if you've never received the love of the Father that comes as He forgives your sins and washes you in the blood of the Lamb, make this your confession of faith as we do it together. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You and praise You that You so loved the world. You so loved me that You gave Yourself for me. You hung on the cross. You bear my sins and my sicknesses. I thank You that You're my Savior. I thank You for washing me in the blood of Jesus. I thank You for forgiving me of all my sins. I thank You for giving me the love of the Father. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thank You, I'm born again. I'm a new creation. In Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Whoa.
Hallelujah.
Let's not stop there. Let's go on. Because we receive the baptism of Holy Spirit the same way, by faith. Believe in your heart, confessing with your mouth. So we're just going to ask Holy Spirit to come and fill us with His presence. It's not a one-time filling, but it's we keep coming, we keep drinking. We stay thirsty. So let's pray this together. Say, Father, I thank You I'm born again. Jesus is Savior and Lord of my life. I confess Jesus as Christ, the Messiah, the living God. And now I ask You to send Holy Spirit. I thank You I receive Holy Spirit into my heart. I thank You He's filling me with His presence. I thank You. There's a bubbling, the evidence they were filled, they prayed in the Spirit. So just pray. If you Don't look for something to say, something to bubble up. Just let it go. Ha ha ha. Oh, da ra ha ha. Oh, bro so to 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 ramba ba ha ha. Re sa ta ra ha ha. To ro ho so to ramba ba ra ta ra te te he. Zo so to randa ra da randa ro bo ho re re he he. Oh, sha ta ra ha ha. To to ro ba ha. Ri ti bo ho randa. Ah, ra ta ra ma ma. Right away, someone will say, do I have to pray in that language? No, you get to. It's the language of heaven. It says it's the language of angels. Your mind, if you're trying to figure it out, you got to get outside your mind. Your mind will keep you from entering into praying in the Spirit. It says praying in the Spirit is building up your most holy faith. You're praying in a new language. If he's a spirit, he also has a language. You don't have to understand it, but he understands it. And then intercession, when you pray, you don't know how to pray as you ought. It says in Romans chapter 8, if you don't know how to pray, he comes alongside you and makes intercession for you according to the will of God when you pray in the Spirit. Oh, it doesn't get any better than that. I don't have to know all the details of prayer. I just have to know the one that has the answer to prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let him intercede and make intercession for us. So if you pray that, you say, well, I didn't pray in that funny language. That's all right. If you prayed that, you received. In your private time, and this is the way it worked for me, in your private time, just in your room when no one's around. Just shut yourself, get your mind off of everything, fix your eyes on Jesus. Say, thank you, I'm filled. And the next thing that bubbles up, it says, out of their innermost being will flow. But in Acts chapter 2, it says the Holy Spirit came and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And as the Spirit gave utterance, they spoke. So it's a partnership. Holy Spirit's not going to take you over. He's not out to control you. He's a partner, and it's a free act of your will. But he'll give you the utterance. He'll give you a word. And you say, well, it doesn't make any sense. Welcome to the Spirit. Amen? Say, I only got one line. Keep praying that one line. Saying, I want more. He'll increase it. It develops into a language of the Spirit. If he's our best friend on the inside, how much time do you spend with your best friend? Whoa. Do you just call on him in an emergency? No. He's there, and he wants a fellowship with us. That's why it says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. It's not talking about spirit. You don't hear with these ears. You hear with the ears of the Spirit on the inside. The still small voice or in visions or dreams. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men see visions.
Thank you.
But all will prophesy. All will hear the voice of Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Just felt this drop down too. Don't wait until something happens like other nations where they confiscate your Bibles. And your phones. When they shut all that down, how are you going to operate? Holy Spirit on the inside, and he'll bring to remembrance. You start hiding it on the inside, and in those situations, he'll start to pull it up out of you. You'll wonder where it came from, but it's initiated by Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that was good. I feel the heat too. Not the fire of God. But we're going to dismiss. We're going to open up the altars for prayer. And on this side is the ministry teams. On this side will be the prophetic teams that are going to finish their week praying for those that went through the Covenant Partners class. You're welcome to stay and kind of come over here and sit and kind of listen if you want to that. But if you need prayer this morning, you're just struggling in some area. You need a prayer of agreement. And you may have come down here every Sunday forever trying to just receive from God your healing. Do it again.
Amen.
Maybe this is the Sunday.
Amen.
Something will break out. Amen?
Amen?
And trust those that are laying hands on you. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Jesus said that starting his ministry. So we can say that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel, the good news, and to set the captives free. So, Father, we thank you. Just be on the prophetic teams as they minister right now. Your word, Father, we thank you that they have an ear to hear. And, Father, they deliver accurately and clearly and articulate well what you are saying, Father, to the individuals they prophesy over. We pray for the ministry teams. Lord, we thank you. They don't know everybody in this place, but we know one who does. And we thank you. They look inside and pray according to what you're leading, Holy Spirit. And we thank you. We just thank you in advance for healings, for deliverances, for baptisms of the Holy Spirit, for salvations in Jesus' name. Amen. Altar team or ministry teams, you can come up here and you don't have to be in a hurry to get out. I know if you have other plans, that's fine. But if you want prayer this morning, just come on. Ministry teams be here. For those who are going to receive prophetic ministry, you can come and sit on the front row and they'll call you. And especially if you prayed that prayer of salvation and felt something happened on the inside, just come and let the ministry teams know and just come.